Welcome back to the AI Training Podcast, brought to you by Grateful AI. I'm your host, Mark Latimer, and today we're excited to dive into a conversation that's all about empowerment, creativity, and transformation. For more episodes like this, remember to visit openaitraining.com, where we unpack the future of AI and its role in shaping our world. Joining us today is the dynamic and inspiring Roxy, founder of Roxy Talks, a movement dedicated to helping visionaries build iconic, world-altering businesses. Roxy is a master at empowering individuals to manifest their boldest desires and make their mark on the planet. Her approach is all about igniting passion, creativity, and tapping into the reasons we're all here on Earth. In this episode, Roxy shares her unique insights into creating positive change, both personally and professionally. We'll explore her journey of self-discovery, the power of positive thinking in shaping reality, and how she helps others unlock their aha moments. Roxy's story is a compelling example of how aligning with your true purpose can not only transform your life, but also the impact you have on the world around you. Get ready to be inspired by Roxy's energy, wisdom, and practical tips for personal growth and professional success. Whether you're looking to elevate your business, harness your creativity, or simply find more joy in your life, this episode is for you. Tune in for an enlightening and empowering conversation with Roxy. Here we go on the AI Training Podcast. Grateful AI, oh, grateful AI, waking up to the sun, sand beneath my toes, feeling the ocean. Grateful AI. Welcome to the show, Roxy. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you having me.
In the spirit of how I used to do it and not bothering to change anything 9 years later, I asked the same 10 questions. And okay. The 10 questions sometimes will help you think about different things, but I'm really excited to learn from you and hear the different answers that you come up with. Without further ado, let's dive in. So the first one that helps set everything up, if you could, for our listeners, please share who you are and what you do.
My name is Roxy. I have a business and movement called Roxy Talks, and I help visionaries build iconic world-altering businesses, help them manifest their boldest desires, and really just make their mark and put change into the planet. I'm here to empower people to go after their passions, find their creativity, follow it, and really tap into the reason that they came to planet Earth, just to kind of bring back the Renaissance, essentially, is like what my mission is.
That's great. And right away talking to you, I get this energy that you bring to the work. And it's clear to see that the people that you attract to work with probably love that about you, that energy that you bring to it. Is that true?
I hope.
Amazing. What do you love most about the work that you do?
I really love, there's this moment when I'm coaching someone or I'm having a conversation with someone and I unlock or help them unlock this, oh yeah, of course I could do that. And it's just like this aha moment and this like light bulb. It's almost like a light bulb moment. Like a light bulb appears over their head. They have 20 pounds that it's lifted off of their energy. Their shoulders are bigger. They have these huge smiles and they just are like, oh yeah, I'm the shit. I forgot. And I just really, that's really my favorite thing in what I do is like seeing that moment in people's faces when they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot for a second who I was, but yeah, I'm good now.
So is it part cheerleader for
yes,
your clients?
100%.
Yeah, that's great. Can you tell me, thinking back to where it all started or early in your career, what made the biggest difference? And what you learned over the years? I'll rephrase the question. What did you learn early in your career that mm-hmm. made the biggest difference? Mm.
Yeah, once I realized that every single thought that we're thinking all day long was creating reality. And if you could just get a hold of them, then you would be in complete control of everything. That changed my life. Mm-hmm. Just opened the door in every way. Because at the time, also with my business, I was treating it like the little engine that could. It's getting there, it's trying, it can, but oh, it's hard and it's slow going. And then I was like, why am I saying this? When I had that realization, it was like, oh my gosh, my sentences all day long are making this thing like chug along and making it hard and like it's a boulder that I'm dragging up a hill when I could use my language to put myself at the top of the hill.
Love that. When it comes to mentors, how important have mentors been in your career?
Very, extremely. I just talked to my coach today. I've been with her for 3 years, and I also have a few others that I like pop in and out of things with here and there, but I'm one of those people that will probably always invest in mentorship for the rest of my life because I really value growth and learning, and I don't ever want to be stagnant. And I also think that due to the nature of what I do, I have to grow. I can't be out here preaching growth and helping you grow and not keep up with or match the pace of, or even like you got a little bit ahead of the people that I'm helping. Like I have to continue to be the example. So it's, to me, I'll probably always have coaching and mentoring.
That's great. Makes a lot of sense that as soon as you stop growing, it puts a cap on, yeah, especially from that leadership perspective, you're not practicing what you preach in that case. Tell me, Roxy, what are you most excited about?
I'm turning 40 in a couple of weeks, and it is.
I just turned 40.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, October 2nd. So.
Yay! Okay, so I'm November 8th. We're so close.
Nice. That's awesome. That's
so fun. Yeah. So you
well,
get
happy pre-birthday. Yes. I want to be the first to issue a happy birthday before.
It's such a cool time, I think, to be 40 because when we were kids,
it's the best time.
It's amazing. When we were kids, 40 was old, and 40 was like, I don't know, it was just a different vibe. And then it's like we got Gwen Stefani. She's like in her late 50s. She's like my, I don't want to say the word aging, but she's like my icon for that. I always look at her and just remind myself that it's how you be and how you think about yourself. I'm actually really excited to go into my 40s and just everything I've been working for, all the shit that I've been doing, I've been grinding for a decade to get this all going. And I just feel like I've been building the arc and this bitch is about to set sail. So I'm excited.
It does sound like I was thinking arc in terms of a story arc where this is like a new chapter of your life.
Yes.
And, you know, why not the 40s or 20s were for learning, 40s, 30s for earning. And then I don't know. All I'm saying is that this next chapter is going to be amazing and wishing you all of the best and have an amazing birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's great. So yeah, I would be excited about a birthday coming up too. What motivates you?
I want to be the best and not in competition with others. I want to be the best that I can be. Like I feel I want to utilize the gifts, the tools, everything that I've been given in this life to my fullest and do the top that I'm even able to fathom. I want to stretch how far I can think about myself and how big I can go mentally. And then I want to go there and then I want to stretch it even further. So to me, it's like now that I'm 40, I'm almost 40. I'm looking at life in a different way, obviously, because I'm on a different landscape of it now. And I got shit to do. And I've always been a very ambitious person and a very, I'm going to do what I say kind of person. And so now it's like, it's go time because there's nothing else really
that.
In the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's go. Amazing. Let's change gears a little bit. What is your biggest challenge as a leader?
I think it's remembering to allow yourself to be human a little bit, because when you have people watching you, there's like this pressure, this added pressure of you don't want to stumble, you don't want to mess up, you don't want to do the wrong thing. You don't want to have a setback. You don't want to be embarrassed. You know what I mean? And so I think that like for most people, there's a lot of pressure to perform in life. And then maybe it's just me, but when you're like in a role like this, there's this added pressure of people watching you and the expectation of I'm setting the bar. So I have to perform at the level that I am publicly sharing and stating for myself. I just saw Babe Ruth in my head. You know what I mean? I'm pointing to the stands. I better fucking hit that ball and it better go right where it needs to go, or else why did I do that? I look like an idiot out here pointing at the stands. So it's there's just this, once you're doing this and you've set yourself like, okay, I'm going to lead people, You better lead and don't fuck it up. If that's how I feel.
I love the analogy. And even most of those people who keep pointing at the stands, they're going to miss most of the time, right?
So I say that because I'm like, Babe Ruth doesn't miss. We don't miss. Like, how could you miss? You pointed at the stands.
I think it's just continuing to swing,
yeah,
right?
So, absolutely. Yep. And continuing to point.
Right.
Even if you miss.
So not deciding to bunt after the first three swings, but still going for it when it's all on the line. So that's cool. No, I definitely got the visual. How do you prioritize what's most important? I'm sure you have a ton of things that constantly need to be shifted and adjusted. What's your strategy?
Like practically?
Yeah.
Because what I do, I use this, something I got from The Ultimate Sales Machine, the book by Chet Holmes. And it's a six, basically you make a list of six things every day that will move the needle forward. And then you schedule, you write down how long they'll take, you schedule them into your day. And then you like leave time for taking walks or getting lost in your phone for a half an hour. Sometimes that stuff happens. But you're scheduling your day, you're ticking things off the box or off the list as you go. And ideally you get it all six done, but if you don't, they go on to tomorrow's list. And my note is also, we don't beat ourselves up if we don't get all six done, but we do try to get it done. So
it's just six. That's the, the number.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. My to-dos are often discouragingly long. So working on six, if they're the right six.
Yeah.
I'll give that a try.
Yeah, try it out and let me know how it works for you, because I don't know about you. I'm hesitant to affirm this. I know I'm affirming it, but I have ADHD. A long list is.
Was that diagnosed or was that self-diagnosed?
Diagnosed. I got diagnosed last year, about a year ago. So it's been very freeing to get that diagnosis.
Nice. It's like a get a jail free card. I'm just joking.
No, it really is. Because I was so hard on myself for those things. Because it's I can't adult stuff. Procrastinating, being late, being disorganized, mentally checking out, having that executive dysfunction, not being able to move, like when you're just like paralyzed and stuff.
Mm.
And all these things that I would just being socially awkward sometimes and saying stuff I probably should think before I speak. And it was just like, after I found out that I'm not a piece of shit, this is how my brain is wired, it would just allowed me so much more freedom to be myself. I spent 39 years being very hard on myself for all that stuff. So it was nice. It's been really nice, actually.
If I could give you a hug, I would.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, yeah, I think it's normal if you have, if you keep raising the bar, but at some point the bar is very difficult to reach and you're like, but why am I not reaching it? Like, I always reach whatever bar that I set, but maybe it's just a matter of the universe doesn't want me to get the bar just yet because I have to learn these three things and then I can raise the bar again. But I find we're constantly, as long as we're enjoying the journey, the bars really don't matter as much as like having something that you're excited about working towards and hopefully some people around you that make the boat ride something that you can be excited about who you're with on that boat.
Totally, totally.
So that's great. Let's keep going. One of my favorite questions, what are your favorite books?
I love reading. So that's okay. So obviously I love Harry Potter.
Obviously.
Gotta throw that out there, of course. Shifting gears, the book Rich as Fuck by Amanda Francis. I've read that book like seven times. It's such a good, I don't know. So there's something about it.
I've looked it up.
Oh yeah, you should get it. There's something about it, the way that she breaks down money, that was just very powerful for me. And I really enjoyed that book. I've read it so many times. I got Brittany's book. I've read a couple chapters. I haven't gotten that deep into it yet, but I'm excited to continue with that.
Yeah. I like Amanda's pink brand. I see you've... Pink is a great color, especially with all the Barbie stuff. It's
oh my God.
Very right now.
Oh yeah. And it, as a 40-year-old woman who loves pink and Barbie, this is, again, what a great time to be alive. Like, Barbie movie, it was like a spiritual experience for me because it was such a huge part of, I played with Barbies until I was in eighth grade. Okay. I was one of those girls. We like, Other girl, they were girls were like kissing and making out with boys. Me and my friend were secretly playing Barbies. You know what I mean? At spending nights playing Barbies and stuff. And to see the movie come out, and it was so pink, and it was, oh my God, it was just so great. I'm loving this whole resurgence that's happening right now.
Are there plans for other movies? Is that because it was
I
such a big
want to be
success?
in Barbie too.
What did you want? What did you say?
I want to be in Barbie too.
You want to be okay. So let's intention that.
Yes,
Who do we need to talk
I know. I
to
have
make
one
sure that
like
you're.
Hollywood friend. I'm thinking about. Hey, do you know?
I know one Hollywood friends. Okay, we'll make a list of our Hollywood friends and see how we can get you into the Barbie movie. And also, anyone listening, if you have
Yes.
any connections
I
to
mean,
help
who?
Roxy get
Right.
into the Barbie movie,
They need a
we'll
tattoo Barbie. They need
exactly,
a tattoo
right?
Barbie. Yes, who that
The
is.
Barbie diversity needs to be there.
Exactly.
Your Barbie needs to exist. Can you get, are there personalized Barbies where you can just get like your Roxy Barbie?
I don't know, but
Would
there
you
will
want
be
your
one.
own?
There's going to be one. I feel it in my legacy.
Okay, cool. We're speaking it into existence.
It's gonna happen.
All right. Fingers crossed. So this is the last question. There might be one maybe bonus question. If you could give advice to your 20-year-old self, what would you say?
Man, it's interesting because I was just thinking, I had the time of my life when I was 20, and I don't know if I would want to say anything to fuck that up. I was just telling my one of my best friends, we literally call that our summer of glory. We had just the best time, and
Right.
that I would not want to even touch it because it was just one of those things in my. Is that a, that's a weird way to answer that question, I guess.
Not necessarily. It's everything is that has got you to where you are. You wouldn't really want to change per se because a slight variation could alter the good memories as well as maybe some of the lessons. I respect not wanting to rock the boat.
Right. That's what it is.
Yeah, because it could change all of the timelines, right?
It would. Because even if like I could think of something of going to see people more that are not on Earth anymore, but that would have changed. That would have brought me to California way earlier than I did, and or back to California, I should say. Yeah, like I will sometimes meditate on timelines I didn't go down just to kind of see what, like who I'd be today. And I'm always glad that I'm here. No, not that it's bad, but it just feels, of course, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Right. It's certainly challenging in some moments to feel like it's all happening for us, but if you wait long enough, then everything works out. It just sometimes feels like you gotta wait a while.
That's the thing is like, what does waiting mean then? Waiting means keeping yourself apart from joy.
No, I disagree. I feel like waiting means getting yourself into the right vibrational frequency as like quickly as possible. So it separates the feeling you want to have from, so that if you're feeling it now, then you should be able to bring in some kind of experience that's more in line with how you wanted to feel in the future.
Right. All I'm saying is, if it feels like you're waiting for something good to happen, then you're defining the waiting as a bad thing or as not good, at least.
No, I think there's a lot of value and appreciation for the spaces in between, right? For the contrast. I'm living in Sayulita outside of Puerto Vallarta, and it's great. But even in the most beautiful place, how you show up in that environment, if you're bringing worries and things like that, the beach can look amazing, the sky could be beautiful. But if you're in your head about things that are holding you down, then you might be looking at that place totally differently because of what you're bringing to it. But even in the most beautiful place, not every day is going to feel like sunshine, right? There's things that happen, and some of them are out of our control, but how we react is often makes a difference between what a beautiful day might look like or not. Okay, bonus question. You talked a bit about meditation. Tell me a bit about your practice, how you approach it, that kind of thing.
So I meditate every day. I try to get about an hour in. I generally walk myself down some stairs. Usually I have my dog that passed away. He like meets me there and kind of guides me down the stairs. I can hang out with him a little bit, pet him and stuff. And then I have different areas I'll go. Sometimes I go and talk to my ancestors and my family members that have passed, and they're in one space. I have a space where this is actually new. I've been talking to God. So that's something that's, I used to be an atheist, and that was before I even understood manifesting. And I, up until maybe like a month or two ago, I've been very avoidant of using the word God. And I just, because to me, it just didn't, I couldn't connect with it because I just had a very weird kind of relationship with it. But I'm so, I'm going in and channeling and talking to different entities, which I'll get to in a minute, so often that one day it was, "What's up? I'm God. You wanna talk?" And so I was like, "Oh, hey, God. Okay." And it just became this thing. And like I talked to Jesus, and I was like, "Am I a Christian now?" And they're like, "You're a humanitarian." And I was like, "Okay, that I feel more comfortable," because at the end of the day, there is a source of something, right? So to me, like, I'm very logical, but I also know that Earth is not what it seems. So I'm always trying to get to the nugget of, okay, but where did that come from? Well, what was before the Big Bang, and how did that start? And what did, I'm trying to find out, who am I talking to in here? Because I'm going into these meditations, I'm doing like an hour a day, and the conversations I'm having are just insane. And I've seen so many things about like how Earth is made in like different dimensions and history and all kinds of stuff. And then also, I'm talking to versions of my ideal self, different placements along the timeline that I'm choosing to go to. And every single day I go in and I talk to some version of my ideal self. It picks itself. I don't really usually pick who they are. I have different ones, and I get advice from them about what to do today to move me forward on that timeline. And I do that. And then sometimes I will go in and I'll meditate with somebody that I admire, or like I've meditated with Amanda Francis's energy, or Joe Dispenza, Beyonce, Bruce Lee, like all kinds of people, Walt Disney.
That's so cool. I love Dr. Joe. My business partner and I, Derek, who I'd love to introduce you to, we went to Jo Dr. Joe's advanced retreat in Cartagena for 7 days, and it was amazing. We met like the best people, did 7 days of meditation. It was awesome.
How many people were there?
Like 1600.
Wow. One of my people from my community went to one of the ones in New
It's
York.
totally worth it. The next one is in Cancun, and I'm intentioning being there.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for sharing all of the words of insight. And I jokingly say that the last time I followed up with people for my podcast was 9 year gap. I wrote a 9 years later interview follow-up message,
Oh
and yeah, pretty high replies on those.
my gosh.
But I assure you that the follow-up will be a lot. But yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I enjoy doing this kind of thing and learning from people. And oh yeah, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you was you're talking about some music or something that is coming out into the future, and I'd love for you to have an opportunity to talk a bit about that.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm a musician. That was my first passion, and I've been working on an album for a few years now of positive or motivational music, and it's musically something that you would hear mainstream wise or mainstream, but it's content lyrically is more, it's about keeping in alignment and understanding your power and affirming and things like that. It's been really exciting for me to create music that is going to uplift people, keep them focused on their goals, not detract or pull their energy away, send them spiraling and stuff, which I feel like a lot of music does, unfortunately. I listen to other people's music, but it does like put me in a place mentally. So the idea behind the music that I work on now is that it still sounds like music that you'd want to listen to, but the words aren't going to like knock you down and keep you off track. And in fact, it's going to do the opposite. And my producer, we've been working together for over a decade. We met on 11/11/11, and so our connection is very divine. And he also is very, totally nerds out on the audio, like geometry, like he's doing sacred geometry with the beats as they're going through your mind, and like the way they're moving through from the speakers and things like that, and the tones and frequencies he's using to also aid in healing and opening up your mindset and things like that. So all around, it's very good intentioned music, and I'm just very excited to put it out, which will be next year, early next year.
And where can people find it when it's available?
iTunes, Spotify, all the places.
And what's your website so people can check you out, and or your Instagram?
Yeah, Roxy Talks everywhere. So roxytalks.com, Roxy Talks on Instagram, TikTok. And then if you look up Roxy Talks on Spotify and iTunes right now, we have a podcast. And I also have affirmation music there now. So you could listen to, we have music going, but this will be like actually singing and stuff like that, like real songs coming soon. So it'll be released under the same name.
Great. Are you ready to do a little a cappella for us?
Oh, you're going to have to pay for that.
Okay. Okay. No problem. I'm also a musician, and I play guitar. I'm a singer-songwriter.
Oh, cool.
I've been playing for about 8 years since I stopped my podcast to go live in India, and it's been great. And now I wrote this new Sayulita song about the place that I'm in, and I've probably played it like 80 times in the last 2 weeks, and it just lights me up to close the laptop at the end of the day and sing and perform, and I just love it. So to be in that kind of environment, I'm super grateful for just having a music community. The whole place is walkable. And I just feel like I found a little sweet spot for me. It's not for everyone, but for me, I love the beach vibes.
That's all that matters really, is like connecting to that pure joy of within you, and then just letting yourself be there and follow that passion and follow what brings you joy and turns your light on. So we can just shift this energy.
I feel like when you have those passions outside of work, then when you do get back to work, you're more energized. You're just like, you're buzzing from that last experience. And then you're bringing that great energy to your podcast or your music or anything else that you love to do. But happy to do this again closer to your actual release, and we can plug it for you and maybe get a couple extra eyeballs on there. And this has been so much fun. Great to get to know you. And have a wonderful day. This has been a lot of fun. And I look forward to sharing the podcast with you once it's all edited and good to go.
I appreciate it. This is fun. Had a good time. Thank you.
Likewise. Okay. Cheers.
Bye. Have a good one.
Talk to you later. Sun, stand beneath my